Okay. Good morning and welcome here. If anyone else has announcements, you guys can make your way up. And our spring congregational meeting is scheduled to take place next Sunday on March 22nd. The youth will be preparing a noon meal for us as a fundraiser, and our meeting will follow the noon meal. Thursday, March 19th, church council meeting at 8 p.m. There are a number of items in Lost and Found, and please check if any of them belong to your family. March 18th, 2020, regular clubs at 7. And please join the pastoral search for team for a prayer meeting on Thursday, March 26, 2020, at the church at 7:30.
Good morning. I just wanted to draw your attention to three dates coming up from the Pastoral Search Committee. The first one is our annual meeting, which was already mentioned, next Sunday after following the lunch. We want to have some group discussions about the responsibility of the congregation in the search for a new pastor. So we want to encourage everyone to attend that meeting. The second date is planned for March 26th at 7:30 in the evening. As a search committee, we felt that it was important to pray over this process together as a group. And so we want to have a prayer meeting in the evening and pray over specific topics that relate to this process. So we will likely break up into smaller groups and spend some time together in prayer. So again, we invite you to attend. That's March 26th at 7:30. And the third date to mark into your calendars is April 7th. There was a questionnaire placed in the back by the bulletins. I'm not sure if it made it into the mailboxes. Well, it's in the bulletin. Excellent. Perfect. So these are the same questions that we have had in each of our Sunday school class discussions regarding this search. As a search committee, we have valued and appreciated all the discussions that we've had over the last couple weeks in the classrooms. And we recognize that there may be some people who are unable to attend these classes or perhaps have some other additional thoughts they would love to share with us. So we want to hear from everyone in this congregation. And we thought we'd spend some time outside of the Sunday school hour to allow for another chance for people to share and discuss any topics related to this. So we want to invite you, if you haven't had a chance to share or if you have some additional comments, please feel free to come on April 7th at 7:30. We'd love to hear from you as well. If you'd rather just jot down a few notes from this questionnaire and hand it in to one of the search committee members, that would be fine as well. We'd love your input. Yeah, so we'll continue to have these dates posted in the bulletin just as a reminder, and we want to thank you for all your input so far as we discern God's will for this congregation. Thank you.
Two really quick announcements about youth this week. We're meeting on Wednesday instead of going to the river in Winkler, which is postponed because of large gathering limitations. We're going to just meet at the youth center and make sure we wash our hands lots and stuff like that. So for now, that is the plan, to meet at the youth center. And then on Friday, the plan is to have a senior youth only snack night, which will also be at the youth center. So please come down for that. And Rudy has a couple of announcements.
Just wanted to announce that today is actually the day of Elizabeth Peters' 90th birthday. And, yeah. Unfortunately, her and Paul were not really feeling well today and so decided not to come. And their celebration that they were going to have is not able to take place either, which is unfortunate. However, I wanted to say a couple of things about our response to the virus, and lots of churches have been canceled. We wondered about whether we should continue or not. We had feedback from quite a number of people getting their perspective on this, and we did send out an email and tried to contact people who do not have email. We certainly want you to feel free to stay at home if you're not feeling well, or if your children aren't feeling well. Wanted to keep the handshakes and hugs to a minimum, just as precautionary kinds of things, but be aware of personal space. Just one change for our service today as well, as far as ushers goes, we won't be having an offering the way we generally do, but you're free to take your offerings to the back of the church at the end, and we will have a basket available there for us to drop that into there. We're having a ministerial meeting. It was planned anyway, but we'll have a ministerial meeting today after lunch, or for lunch and then after lunch, and this will be one of our items to discuss. On the one hand, we want to be prudent with our response, and on the other hand, we don't also want to be panicky and anxiety and create a lot of anxiety about this. We'll be in contact, I suspect, with executive, and we'll let you know what's happening from week to week. So far, that's about as much as I can share with you at this point. But in light of what has been going on, I would invite us to join together for a time of prayer as we think about this and reflect about this. Let's bow to pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth and before you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. And we give you thanks for your continued knowledge and care for us. We give you thanks for your great faithfulness in times of plenty and in times of need. We also acknowledge that we live in an imperfect world, in which there are natural disasters, human error, sinfulness, choices we make which are not always in accordance with your will. We are also in the midst of being faced with a virus that knows no boundaries, a virus that has caused much fear and anxiety wherever its presence is felt. And so we pray for healthcare workers who are at the forefront of this challenge. We pray for protection, for energy, for wisdom, for perseverance. We pray for families directly affected and those struggling with its presence, and for all those who have loved ones who have been taken from their midst. You know the reality of their pain, how each one is precious in your sight. In your mercy, we ask that you would grant healing and comfort, the inner strength that comes from our unceasing dependence upon you as the rock upon which all of us are anchored. We pray for ourselves that fear and panic would be kept at bay, that we would be able to continually listen and discern your direction, your presence, and your everlasting arms wide enough to embrace the whole world. Continue to make of us your servants, with the ability to be wise, to be calm, courageous, and always ready to do good in our community and in the world. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rudy. Like Raven already said this morning, welcome here. We are excited as a youth to lead the service this morning, and we're glad to be here. You're going to see a few unfamiliar faces here this morning, and hopefully we'll have some time to introduce each one of them. I'm going to encourage Tyson to introduce the worship band when he gets up here. And the rest will introduce themselves as we go through the service. For today's call to worship, Harley, can you put that up on the screen? We're going to do a responsive reading. So I'll read the one part, and you can read the all part. Makes sense, right? Brothers and sisters, we gather in worship today as one body, working together to share the good news of Jesus and to be his hands and feet in our world. In the words of Paul, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. Lord, help us worship you with our eyes and our ears, with our mouths and our hands, because we are rooted in Christ, we give our whole selves to you. Be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. Lord, help us worship you with our hearts and our minds. Renew our thoughts as we grow in knowledge, that we may be our focus on you. You will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. Lord, show us your will for each one of us gathered for worship. Show us your will for our congregation. Help us to please you in our worship, in our service, and in our daily lives. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, send your gracious spirit on our leaders and upon us. Make us ready and willing to offer ourselves as a joyful sacrifice to your holy work. In our worship today, may we be transformed through the renewal of our minds, and may we strive to grow more deeply rooted in your Son, the living Christ. Amen. I'd like to call up Tyson and the band now.
Good morning, y'all. And so welcome to my lovely crew here of singers that I have with me today. For those of you who don't know, this is Cynthia. This is Presley in the middle. And this is Zoe, the ones who often holding all of your babies. So anyways, good morning. And I invite you to stand as we worship. And there'll be some new songs, newish songs. But yeah, worship as you're comfortable and sing.
announce it.
I'd like to call Heidi up for the offertory or non-offertory or whatever you call this.
Thank you, Heidi. Please bow in prayer with me. Creator God, you are trustworthy, and we can rely on you. Even in times of uncertainty, even when things seem scary. Father, we pray for all of those in our congregation who are already facing health challenges or difficulties. We pray for Werner and Marlene that you would be with them, for Helen Jansen and Jake Rempel, for Katrina and Justin, for Dave and Erica. We pray for Chris Entz and Lisa and Matthew Wiebe. Father, all of these people, you know them and you love them, and you know exactly what's going on in their bodies and in their minds. And so we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to give them comfort and healing and to be with them. And as we face uncertain times with coronavirus and the things going on around the world, Father, I pray that you would continue to help us, as we sang earlier, to keep our minds and our focus stayed on you. Because you are not surprised by this, and you are still good, and we can trust you. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to call Cynthia and the kids up for a children's story.
Okay, ooh, it is on, okay. This is a bigger crowd than I was expecting, that's good. Okay, so today we're gonna learn about how we can live for God and be more like him. So what do you think it means to be like God, like Jesus? Just any answer. How can we be like Jesus? Tough crowd, okay. So how do you think God wants us to live our lives? How about that? Peacefully, yep. That's a good answer. He wants us to love other people, do good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to read you 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, and he has some wisdom here. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. So the Bible teaches us that we should give up our own lives so that we can live for God. Giving up our lives for God is like always remembering that God has a plan for us and that we should always do our best to plan our lives around what he has for us. Being Christians means living for God even outside of church, not just on Sundays, that we should always be unselfish. And God has a plan for us that's even better than anything we could imagine for ourselves. And that's a good thing to rely on. So now, how do we live for God? We know that we should, but now we have to ask ourselves how. So how do you think we should live for God? You said peacefully. Anything else? You can respect others. Can encourage people around us. Yeah. Can help people that are sick. Yeah. Okay, it can be hard to live fully for God, especially when what he has planned isn't really what we want to do. That's kind of hard. Like when our parents tell us to do something that they know is right for us, but we don't really want to do it that much. So we can't really follow God alone. That's why we need to pray and trust God to make us make the right decision. Okay, and one more question. How do you think your life will change if you start living for God? How do you think your life will change? Yeah? Yeah, might go to heaven. That's the end result we want, right? Yeah. So, yeah, if we're living our life for God, he will receive glory through our lives. And the only reason that we exist is that God will be glorified. So, it's a good lesson. Okay, let's pray, okay? Dear God, help us to see what you want for us and help us to want to follow you in our lives. Help us to be kind and loving to those around us. Amen. You can go back to your seats. singing Reckless Love. If you guys could stand, that'd be good.
Oh,
That's it.
We'll be reading from Romans 12. Therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God.
For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed as a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, all of the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it to according to the standard of one's faith, in service, if teaching is in teaching, if exhorting in exhortation, giving in generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Says mute. Oh, it doesn't say mute now. Right on. I have a quick question for you guys, for you church. If I call some people up and we sit here, can you still see us? Or do you want us to get chairs and be up a little higher? Which would be better? Chairs or sit? Raise your hands for chairs. Okay, we're good. Okay, I'd like to just call up my interviewees. Tyson Fair, come on up. Melena Peters. This is Melena Peters. She's one of our scripture readers. And Brittany Weeb is also one of the people that's going to be answering my questions. And Lindsay Miller. Come on up. Right on. Okay. I'm going to let you guys have this mic, and I'm going to use the black one. And we're just going to pass this down while I ask you some questions, okay? So just hold on a second. All right. I thought that it would be good, since this is our youth service, to do a little bit of introduction to some of the youth, and also just to have them answer a couple of questions that you might be thinking, but you might not, and I just thought it would be good for you to know. So we're going to do that. The first question that I have this morning is, what is something that you've really enjoyed about youth this year?
Playing underground church and doing small groups.
Playing underground church and doing small groups.
Doing small groups and learning more about Jesus.
Well, this is kind of cheating because it's not this year, but back at the beginning of October, we got them to start playing some Ultimate Frisbee. Half of them liked it, half of them didn't, but I really enjoyed it.
Right on. Nice. The second question that I have is, what have you been learning about at youth this year?
What the gospel means.
To always trust in God.
How to trust what the Bible says.
I wish my answers were that quick. I didn't write them down, so basically what I've been learning is how to become a better leader and being intentional with being a mentor to others, because growing up in my family, we didn't always talk about faith necessarily in our house very much, and so being a mentor to others is, you know, now you're the one that's supposed to start the conversation, be intentional about it. So I've been learning how to grow in that, and so, yeah.
Right on. What is your favorite verse in the Bible, and why?
My favorite verse is John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light that leads to life. So it's my favorite verse because it's reassuring to know that he's all we need.
John 3:16. And this is my favorite verse because it shows what God did for us and how much he loves us. Mine is Psalms 146, verse 8, because it shows if you need help, he'll always be there for you.
This is my go-to when I get asked this question. John 17, verse 3, is where Jesus is praying, and he says, "This is eternal life, to know God, and to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And just because the reality of eternal life, the reason why it's so amazing is because we get to know our Father so intimately, so closely, and he's just an amazing Father.
That's great. What is your favorite Bible story and why?
The three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace, because it's comforting to know that Jesus is with us anywhere we are.
For the record, Jesus shows up in the furnace as well. There's not just three men in the furnace, so... Yeah, that is cool.
Mark 12, the poor widow, because she gave all she had.
Adam and Eve, because it shows that Satan will try to tempt you, but you just have to stay away.
Well, I think I'm going to go with one that has been very impactful for me mentally, is just Mary and Martha, where Jesus is at their house, and one verse in there where it says, Jesus said, you are distracted by many, doing many things. And to use that as a reminder of, like, because, you know, out of high school now, you're in high school and younger, you know, often, like, you're being served too. Like, everything's kind of like you're being mentored too and stuff. And now here I'm the one doing stuff for others. And just being reminded of why I'm doing them, not just doing them just because I'm doing them, but to remain my focus on Jesus. And, yeah, that's been a strong reminder for me, just to keep Jesus my focus as I'm doing these things, not just doing it as a habit because I'm supposed to do it.
Right on. Thank you very much. We're going to have a brief interlude for a skit, and then we'll ask some more questions.
Is that it?
What? Who said that?
Up here.
Oh, you mean up there, as in way up there. It's you, huh? Guess it's been a while since we really talked. Same here.
Yes, it has. How are you two doing these days?
Surviving. I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Well, I've been missing you a lot. Anyway, is that it?
What?
What you put in the offering, is that it?
Well, I don't want to speak for her, but I just figured I might as well donate my loose change to a good cause, and that's what I had lying around. Yeah, it's good to give to those who are less fortunate, right?
Right, it is, but is that the best you can offer me?
Well, sorry. Okay, fine, I guess I could part with another couple bucks. There. Considering the size of my allowance, that's pretty generous. Here, I've got a couple bucks too.
You Your benevolence is overwhelming.
I'm sensing a little sarcasm here.
Your money is not what I truly desire of you.
Well then, what do you want?
For years, people haven't gotten it.
Oh, church, right? Is that what you want? Well, okay, I'll try to come to church more on Sundays.
For my sake, you would drag yourself out of bed and spend 2 hours in my presence every week? Wow, I feel so appreciated.
Oh, come on, seriously, it's not easy. Okay, I'll actually make an attempt to keep the whole Sabbath, like not watch movies or any of that fun stuff on Sunday either. Happy now? Yeah, I guess I could do that too.
I see. So I should be grateful that you two would even consider sacrificing one day in seven for me. Is spending time with me really so bad?
That isn't what we said.
But it's what you meant, isn't it?
Is there still something more that you want from us?
Yes!
Okay, how about this? We'll each give you $10 a month. Go to church and keep the whole Sabbath every Sunday and do 5 minutes of devotional time every morning. Deal?
Oh, my children, you still don't get it.
I guess not.
I don't want your offerings if you give them grudgingly and just on the surface. It needs to go deeper. I've been telling people for years that their animal sacrifices and burdening vows are not true worship. I desire obedience and mercy, a broken heart and humility, love worship.
Could you be a little more specific?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that you've refused to give to me. For example, I've been trying to send both of you hints for a long time that we need to work on taming your tongues a little. You've really been hurting a lot of people with the words you speak. A little harmless gossip here and there can be very damaging slander. Give your tongues to me. Let me teach you how to bring my joy and glory to this world through the words you say.
Hey, whatever happened to freedom of speech?
And about the people you hang out with?
Oh, no way. Now you're going to start talking like my mother, trying to tell me who I should and shouldn't hang out with. You are treading on dangerous ground. I think you should know.
And then along with that, there's boys.
Oh, please, don't go there.
You don't think you can trust me with your relationships? I am all-knowing and all-loving, you know.
Not to mention all of out of date and all boring.
And all hearing. Oh, and I would be honored if you would surrender your time management and entertainment choices to me. You've been spending a lot of time watching TV lately, and some of it is really bad for you. I think I have some better suggestions in those areas.
Good grief. So basically, you want to take over our whole lives?
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
Okay, with all due respect, I mean, you are God, but some people might say you had an awful lot of nerve demanding that of a person.
Well, what have I given you?
Well, there was the time I prayed to get a bicycle for Christmas and actually got one. I suppose you could take credit for that if you like. And one time my dog was sick. I prayed that you would help him and get better, and he did.
I have given you everything, the very gift of life, every breath you breathe. I have saved you from death more times than you are aware. You have families, homes, free education, food in your bellies, and clothes on your back. Everything of beauty you see, every loving friend in your lives, every bird song you hear, every good thing and perfect gift comes from me.
Yeah, I suppose. All those things are nice. Thanks. But still.
Wait, I haven't gotten to the best part. I asked for your lives because I gave up mine in exchange for them. Don't you remember? Can't you see? I came down from heaven to live among a lost people who despise me and love them anyway. I came to rescue them from Satan who held them captive, even though they couldn't see it. I spent 33 years pouring every fiber of being into my mission, and at the end of it, I let them take my very life in the most painful, agonizing way, even though billions of those I died for would never truly accept this way out. I did it for you. I love you. I want you to love me back. What I truly desire is your hearts.
Okay, I see your point.
I want to be your best friend, but you're letting things come between us. Whatever you don't sacrifice to me will be used as a weapon to keep you in slavery. I'm the Lord your God who brought you to freedom, and you shall have no other gods before me. I paid the full price for your lives, and if you will let me buy them from Satan, I will transform them into a beautiful work of art. I love you just as you are, but I love you way too much to leave you that way. You can never pay me back for all I've done for you. but you will bring me the greatest joy by offering your whole selves to me, mind, body, and spirit, as a living sacrifice.
Will it hurt?
Sometimes, but not as much as it will hurt if you keep holding on to it yourself.
I don't know if I can do it. If I can give up all of it.
Trust me, my children.
All right. I'm yours.
Me too.
Thank you, girls. And Thaddeus. Interviewees, please come on back up. So our next question has a little bit to do with our skit and our theme for this morning. And the first question is this: what do you think that it means to put others first?
An example could be if you're going to the store with your friend and you only have money.
Sorry.
For one item and your friend doesn't have any money, you could give the money to them to get something instead of yourself.
If someone wants to do something and you don't want to do it, but you could still do it.
Stopping things that you really want to do and letting them do the things they want.
Kind of what Melina said, doing when you don't want to do it. Like a challenge of, like, it's nice to be easy to people when it's convenient to you, but like, what are you willing to step out of your way to do for someone else?
If you think about showing others the same kind of love that Jesus showed us, what do you think this could look like at your school or your workplace?
If you know what to do for an assignment in school, but someone else doesn't and you're in the middle of the assignment, you could take time to help them instead of quickly finishing.
If someone forgot to do their homework, you could help them with it.
If someone's having troubles in doing their work, you could help them.
Well, work, specifically for me, it looks maybe slightly different because I'm often working on by myself, but definitely taking time, when I do have time on breaks and things, getting curious about people's lives and getting to know them, just showing that I care, and and giving them whatever I can to be, listen to them, give them advice if that's what's needed, yeah, but just caring about what's going on in their lives.
What could this look like at home or in your family?
If your parent has been doing a lot of work around the house and they're just about to start the dishes, you could do it for them.
If your parents just got home from work and they're about to make supper, you could offer to help.
Take note of these things, parents.
You could do work for them and being kind to one another.
Well, my parents are gone for 2 weeks right now. And so, to take care of the house, keep it clean, maybe even do some dishes. and keep it clean for when they come back and just kind of give them a treat. So, yeah.
It would be great if you left your kids with the house and you came home and you didn't have to clean it up after them. Yep, that would be wonderful. I don't leave my kids for 2 weeks at a time yet, though, so one day. The next question I have for you is, can you think of a time that you've put someone else's needs before your own, and what was that like for you?
One of my friends at school wanted to play a game with us, but there was too many people playing, so I teamed with him.
Once my friend's hands were cold, so I gave her my gloves.
When my mom broke her ankle, I did stuff for her.
I can't think of too much right now. One thing that comes to mind, which is not necessarily a specific person, but helping out with VBS specifically 2 years ago, I just remember it was a very exhausting week because, well, I work and then I go straight from a 10-hour day straight to running around leading games. And so I just remember being really exhausted, but it was also such a blessing as well.
Right on. Thank you so much to each of these wonderful interviewees for answering my questions. You can take a seat. All right. This is a little short. I'm not used to that. I just got to pull it down. There we go. It's good. All right. Thank you so much to all of the youth and leaders that have been part of the service already. It's just been wonderful to see your faces up here. It's nice to have people help out. It's great. We read Romans 12, and one of the things that I've been thinking about in relation to the service is I just wanted to let you guys know a little bit about what our youth theme has been for this year. The theme this year has been the real Jesus. And we've been taking a look at who Jesus is. We talked about things. We started off the year talking about why is it that we can trust the Bible. And one of the amazing things about the Bible is that they have a lot of manuscripts from the Bible. It's one of the most historically reliable books that we have to date, which is pretty amazing. There are many, many, many copies of the Bible, and which is why we know that the words that are written are true, which is really cool. We talked about who Jesus was, what he did. Because we can trust the Bible, we can know that the things that it records Jesus as doing are factual. And we did a series also on the gospel. We spent about 4 or 5 weeks on what is the gospel, why do we share the gospel, how do we share the gospel with our friends. And we just kept really spending lots of time on that because we thought it was very important for the youth to know what the gospel is. What is the good news about Jesus and why is it important to us? This morning, our theme is living our lives as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice to God. And what that means really is to worship God with our entire life. Paul makes a distinction here in Romans 12 because he's pointing out the difference between the way sacrifices were done in the past and the way God is calling us to do sacrifice in our lives nowadays. He's not necessarily calling us to take, you know, a pair of oxen or a pair of sheep or lambs or whatever and go sacrifice them out behind the barn and burn them to him as an offering. But rather what he wants more than that is he desires that we worship him with our lives. And our mission statement says this: we, the Blumenort Mennonite Church, commit to worship God with our lives, enabled by the Holy Spirit to follow the example of Jesus the Christ. And it talks directly to this issue. We want to worship God with our lives. That is what we want to do. And how we do this is by submitting to his transforming work through the renewal of our minds, and when we love our neighbors as ourselves, by putting their needs before our own. When we decide to live from faith and not from fear. The coronavirus has captured our attention around the world. Media is overtaken with reporting on this ongoing situation, and things keep changing by the day, sometimes even by the hour, as to what schools are closed, what measures people are taking to limit and mitigate the risk that is associated with this virus. I've heard many stories about people buying toilet paper when they might not need to buy toilet paper, but they figure they don't want to run out and people are panicking about toilet paper, so they might as well get it while they can. And it just seems silly, some of the things that are happening. Cassie and I were talking about it the other day, and I thought, people are buying all the toilet paper, but don't they remember that, like, trucks come with more stuff to the store pretty often, like toilet paper? So I figure there'll probably be some on Monday. But the truth is that even though the world might be doing silly things, it is a threat to some people, and we need to be cautious and careful about that. What the coronavirus does, though, is it points us to a few things. It sheds light on our fragility, on our vulnerability as human beings, and our lack of control, because this is a virus that we don't have a cure for yet, and we don't have a way to stop those who are vulnerable from passing away, or even necessarily people from contracting it without isolating ourselves or limiting our contact with people. And because our world is so connected, it becomes even more of a possibility that this can spread widely. There are many things that we can do in order to mitigate this risk. The risk that this virus poses to our vulnerable population and to those who are susceptible to the more severe effects of it. And yet, we are also not the ultimate authority. One of the things that we need to remember is that God is the ultimate authority. He knows what's going on, and he is the one who is in charge. And that fact can give us comfort, since we know that he is good and he loves humanity. He wants the best for us, and this is why he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He made a way for us to be right with him. Whether or not we get ill with the coronavirus or suffer complications from it, he will still be good and he will still be God. He is the one who is in control, and every breath that we have comes from him. Every good gift that we have comes from God. He is worthy of our worship every moment of every day. And while we are vulnerable, he is not. If our faith is in Christ, we can live from hope. We can live from hope and not from fear, because our hope is in the resurrection. We believe that God has raised Christ from the dead and shown that he has power over death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 57 read this. They say, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ has conquered death, and if our faith is in him, we no longer need fear it. For when we pass from this earth, we will be with him for eternity. Now this is not a reason to live recklessly, but a reason to live with hope. And as we live from a place of hope, how can we live lives of worship to God in this current global climate when people are afraid or people are unsure? How can we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul talks about? Verse 3 in Romans 12 says, "For the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." We can offer hope to people in desperate need of hope as they face fearful messages and realities. We can focus our thoughts on the God who has given us hope and think of others' needs ahead of our own. There's a phrase that I've often read in the past week, which is abundance of caution. We've done this and this, we've taken this and this measure because out of an abundance of caution, we decided to do this. Another phrase I've been hearing lately is flattening the curve. And the reason why we do certain things is so that we flatten the curve, which the curve is basically the amount of fatalities and cases of COVID-19. And they're saying the more of these measures that we take, the less likely this is to get really bad. It'll be sort of bad, but maybe not as bad, that kind of thing. And I think that one of the ways that we do this is by being proactive. One of the ways that we as Christians need to respond is by being conscious of the people that could be affected. They say that younger people or people middle-aged kind of thing, or people without health difficulties are less likely to have severe effects from this. But the truth is, even though I might not be at risk, there might be an older person who might be more at risk than I am. And if I decide to just live my life and completely ignore what's going on, and not wash my hands and touch my face and touch them, whatever, I might possibly spread it to them. I don't want to live in fear of that and not do anything normally, but the truth is that I need to think of others ahead of myself. And so what that might mean is being kind to people by maybe not shaking hands with an older person, even though that's our normal thing that we do. But it might also mean that for those who are separating themselves from other people, checking in with them with a text message or a phone call or something like that, because as things are closing down or shutting down, there's going to be less, potentially less community and less connection between us. And I think also we can offer hope to people by spreading the good news of Jesus, by telling them about what he has done. For people who are afraid and think, maybe this might be the end of the world or something, we can say, hey, hold on. Things have happened like this before. We're going to be okay. God's still in control. We don't want to let fear lead us, but rather wisdom to guide us. Wisdom from the Spirit of God. He has given us all that we need for character, for good character and godliness. Romans 12, verses 9 to 21, continue and tell us this. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud, instead associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's out of toilet paper, toss him a roll. Sorry, that's a paraphrase. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. To live a life that puts others first by outdoing one another and showing honor, being patient in affliction, persistent in prayer, and sharing with those in need, that is what we're called to do. We must not repay evil for evil. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. So my challenge to you, church, this morning is how can we live out of faith and not fear, and how can we love our neighbor? What does it look like to live like Jesus this week? I think that we all need to seek Jesus and to find out his wisdom in the situation and to know whether or not we are responding fearfully or in wisdom. But we must remember that Jesus has done what he has done, and even if the whole world seems to be going crazy over this, we don't need to. We can bring it to him. We can bring it to God. We can pray for those who are affected. We can be kind to everyone and think of others ahead of ourselves. Because the truth is, even if I might not be afraid of getting the virus, there might be somebody else that I know that is. And I need to understand their fear and to be kind to them in it. Because if I just trivialize it or make fun of them for that, that isn't helping anybody either. We must pay attention to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. And as we seek to live our lives as a sacrifice of worship to God, let us renew our minds. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, remembering that God is still good and he was not surprised by our current reality. He is still coming back. We must live in hope and not in fear. Let us be calm and seek to put the needs of others before our own. Let us not panic. Let us show love. My challenge, again this week, church, is to live like Jesus in our community. Be hope bringers and love sharers. Amen. Tyson.
You can stand. We're going to be singing Christ Alone.
Stop.
For the benediction, please bow. God of hope, you have called us to live like Jesus, demonstrating a life of sacrificial love to a world that desperately needs the renewing, transforming power of your good news. Lord, fill us with your joy and peace. Let us overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit, so we may bring that hope to your world. May we seek to live your way every day, remaining rooted in Christ together. Amen. Go in peace.